As you may recall, over the years, we traditionally have had in the second general session a presenter talking about most often about eye research. Sometimes it's been some other related medical education that we've had. And at our last, just as we were finalizing the program for the spring conference and convention, we were contacted by several individuals from down here in San Diego, including the San Diego Delta Gamma Alumni Sorority, asking us if they could, and actually it was last fall, let me correct myself, but asking that we have a spot on our agenda for a foundation here in San Diego that does tremendous amount of work in sponsoring research and has a lot of outreach programs, and their impact is not just local, it is international. So we promised that at this conference and convention, we would invite from the Vision of Children Foundation, their executive director, Andrea Kinner, who is going to talk to us this evening about research they sponsor, their outreach programs. And I've asked her, if time permits, that perhaps she might tell us about some of the very interesting fundraising projects that are done for her foundation to raise funds. Some jointly, the foundation is doing with other groups, but other groups that, like the Delta Gamma Alumni Sorority, that have done for it. I thought some of them were very innovative in reading. So please, let's give Andrea Kinner a big hand.
I do. Yep. All right. Thank you, and good evening. I'm honored to be here with you this evening, and I'm especially pleased to share with you a little bit about our organization, the Vision of Children Foundation, or VOC as we call it. We're a small, lean, and little-known charity, but we believe our efforts have the potential to impact millions of people. We were founded in 1991 with a mission quite different from most other vision research organizations that focus on eliminating the causes of preventable and treatable blindness. We're targeting genetic eye disorders that have traditionally been underrepresented and underfunded. According to the Cleveland Clinic, inherited eye diseases cause more than 60% of cases of blindness among infants. But within this group, there are dozens of conditions, and incidence rates vary widely. They include recessive genetic diseases such as ocular albinism, oculocutaneous albinism, achromatopsia, and blue cone monochromacy. But I'd like to put a human face to our foundation by reading excerpts from two of the many letters we've received over the years. The first one is from an 8-year-old boy named Tyler with ocular albinism. He sent us a photo and wrote, "This is a picture of me with my candy machine. My favorite kind is peanut M&Ms. I sell the candy for 25 cents a handful. Here's some money, a $20 check enclosed, I earned from my candy business to help for research for children with lower vision and nystagmus. My candy business is called Sweet Tooth Candy. Goodbye, work hard, and have a nice day." More recently, we heard from a mom whose 5-year-old son, Adam, has albinism and is considered legally blind. After receiving an electronic magnifier donated by VOC, she wrote to us and said, "Now that Adam started school, he has new challenges and more demands on his vision that he did not have before. The electronic magnifier has helped him overcome those challenges in so many ways. He is now able to sit with his classmates rather than in the corner of the room using a closed-circuit TV. This has reduced his barriers to building friendships, one of our major hurdles right now. At night, we use the magnifier in the bed when we read books. Light in the room can be dim, and he can still read because of the built-in light on the magnifier. This has given him a wider range of comfortable settings for reading. The electronic magnifier has made reading a more natural and enjoyable experience for the whole family. We've also brought the magnifier with us during hikes and other outings. Thank you so much for helping our son gain access to the world around him. We're a family on a single income, and it would have been a major financial challenge to us to be able to buy this magnifier on our own. Thank you for helping us meet his needs and the needs of our family at the same time. So as you can imagine, we love receiving these kinds of letters and feedback. For an organization like ours that focuses mostly on medical research, it's extremely encouraging and motivating to hear the human impact of our efforts. Those of us who work at VOC are further inspired by the day-to-day involvement of the charity's founders, Sam and Vivian Hartage, a San Diego couple whose son was born with ocular albinism type 1, or OA1. As some of you may know, this is a rare but debilitating eye disease. Back in 1991, an ophthalmologist told the Hartages that there was no cure and no hope for treating the disease. He told them that very few researchers were focused on rare genetic eye disorders. The Hartages jumped into action. They were determined to bring genetic vision disorders to the forefront and to encourage scientific research in these areas. They also understood the frustration families dealing with incurable illness felt, so they wanted to create a support system for others affected by vision disorders. And so VOC was born. While our research focus is narrow, we firmly believe that the work our researchers are doing with just a few genetic diseases will lead to better understanding, treatments, and eventually cures for many eye diseases. Over the past two decades, VOC has been a pioneering force in vision research. We have donated more than $2 million to vision researchers worldwide. Some of this work has been groundbreaking. For instance, our researchers have identified the gene mutation responsible for OA1. They have developed the first genetic test for OA, allowing for prenatal diagnosis and carrier screening. And they've cloned the mouse OA1 gene and created an OA1 mouse model with many characteristics similar to those in human OA1. This, of course, enables researchers to test potential treatments in mice. From early basic science research, we have evolved into an organization that has driven science to the horizon of real cures, actually restoring vision in children who cannot see. Knowledge about genetic eye diseases has increased dramatically over the past two decades, and now treatment and cures are within our reach, with gene and stem cell therapy holding the most promise. Gene therapy consists of introducing specific engineered genes into a patient's cells. This facilitates the prevention and treatment of diseases through DNA transfer. While the idea is simple, the immune system reacts strongly, which may result in the rejection of the genetically modified cells. After years of hard work, we've seen exciting breakthroughs in the field of gene therapy to treat Leber's congenital amaurosis. LCA became the first type of hereditary blindness to be successfully treated by gene therapy. Vision was restored in 12 children and young adults who previously had no options for treatment. I'm sure some of you heard about this groundbreaking discovery because its implications are vast. It laid a foundation for applying gene therapy to treat other forms of childhood onset retinal disorders, such as blue cone monochromacy and achromatopsia. VOC is now funding research to determine exactly which genes play a role in the lack of retinal pigmentation and abnormal crossing of optic nerves in individuals with OA1. This work is critical to ultimately developing treatment approaches. Another exciting approach to treatment comes from stem cells. We now know that cells derived from our own cells, such as skin cells, can develop into different cell types that can be used to target, treat, and/or replace damaged tissues in the body. One of our researchers is now studying the use of stem cells to regenerate damaged eye tissue in mice. And we are also funding research into genetic treatments that will potentially regrow damaged vision receptors in the back of the eye and reattach them to the vision center in the brain. We're very excited that some of our researchers are finally moving from lab work to actual human trials. For example, early research showed that people with oculocutaneous albinism, or OCA, lack the neurotransmitter dopamine in their retinas. But we don't know the extent to which the absence of dopamine actually affects visual function. Now, a physician at the University of Wisconsin has set out to determine if dopamine replacement will improve retinal function and therefore vision. He's conducting a 4-year clinical study of 50 patients who will be treated with a medication that increases the supply of dopamine in the brain. All in all, we've made remarkable progress, and we believe our researchers are getting closer to finding treatments for certain disorders. To help them complete our tasks, we need continued funding. So as you can imagine, a large part of our job is to raise funds from many different sources. Over the years, we've received grants from numerous companies and other foundations, as well as donations from many individuals. We've also conducted creative fundraisers and developed collaborative partnerships with individuals and corporations. I'd like to tell you about some of them. First, since our founder, Sam Hartage, runs a hotel business, his company, Chase Suites Hotels, has been our steadfast corporate sponsor since VOC started. In addition to each of the hotels supporting the foundation in different ways, the parent company, Hartage Hospitality, donates office space, office supplies, accounting, and IT services, and this helps keep our administrative costs down. We've also had our share of celebrity events. One of VOC's first major fundraisers was a luncheon and presentation with Martha Stewart, who shared her holiday entertaining ideas with a standing room only crowd of more than 1,400 donors. And we've also benefited from the time and talent of world-renowned Italian tenor Andrea Bocelli. The singer, who's been blind since the age of 12, allocated premium seats at several of his concerts for fundraising events, and he also held a special private concert to raise funds for VOC. Other VOC-sponsored fundraising events included the benefit concerts by The Temptations and The Fab Four. And just 2 months from now, we will host a fundraiser featuring Ann Romney as the guest speaker. Mrs. Romney is a breast cancer survivor, health advocate, medical research supporter, and will speak about the importance of medical research to find cures for childhood blindness as well as breast cancer. Funds from this event will be split between VOC and the American Cancer Society. Among VOC's most dedicated and lucrative fundraisers are Saker ShopRite Supermarkets in New Jersey. They have donated more than $1.1 million since 2007. For 1 month each year for the past 7 years, the cashiers at all 29 Saker ShopRite stores have asked customers if they would like to donate to the Vision of Children at the point of purchase, and the company matches what is raised at the registers. What's particularly interesting about the Saker ShopRite partnership is that it's spawned by the all-important personal touch. The Saker family was first introduced to VOC, and our work by one of our family network members whose son has OA. They were so touched by the cause that they implemented the ongoing program. With ShopRite as our model for point of purchase fundraising, we've applied this concept with supermarkets in San Diego County, including Stumps Family Market, Rancho Santa Fe Village Market, and Wally's Market. Another longtime supporter has been Delta Gamma, one of the oldest and largest women's fraternities in the United States and Canada. Our foundation is a perfect fit for the sorority, whose philanthropic mission is service for sight. At the national and chapter levels, The Delta Gamma Foundation has generously funded our efforts for the past 10 years. In addition, students in individual chapters, especially at the University of San Diego and San Diego State University, have volunteered tirelessly at our various fundraising events, such as the Spike for Sight Charity Beach Volleyball Tournament. In other cities, Delta Gammas have worked with VOC to develop creative fundraisers, such as Chapman University's Decorated Christmas Tree Auction in Orange, California. The San Diego Alumni Chapter of Delta Gamma also hosts an annual Race for Sight charity event featuring high-speed indoor go-kart team relay racing. Jeans Day has been a long-standing tradition with some VOC corporate supporters. During one day a year, employees make a contribution to VOC in exchange for the opportunity to come to work casually dressed. The companies also match the employer's donation, dollar for dollar, and employees are incented to donate more as they try to win prizes, such as designer jeans and resort and vacation stays. We also participate in Ralph's Supermarket Community Contribution Program, through which customers can trigger a corporate donation every time they shop. And people can also contribute through their company's United Way campaigns and through the combined federal campaign. You can also trigger a donation by purchasing a Pura Vida bracelet created and made by jewelers in Costa Rica and sold by a San Diego company that supports VOC and other charities around the United States. One of our more recent fundraising initiatives is called Racing for Research. This is our grassroots effort enabling supporters to raise money for us by participating in local racing events. So far, Team VOC members have designated us as a beneficiary of activities ranging from fun runs, walks and marathons, to bike rides, canoe trips, and wrestling matches. These large-scale fundraisers may bring in big bucks, but the heart and soul of VOC are members of our family network who come up with their own unique ways to raise money. People like the little boy I told you about earlier and his sweet tooth candy business. Or five little girls who raise money for VOC at their annual lemonade stand and through sales of handmade hair barrettes and other items. Or a mom who organized an elegant dinner in New York that netted $8,000. They are among the 1,500 individuals around the world who are a part of our family support network. True to the Hartage's initial vision, the network enables families whose children have vision disorders to communicate with others in similar situations. They share similar experiences, frustrations, and successes. And VOC provides them with information on the latest medical research, advocacy groups, clinical trials, and support services through our website, biannual newsletter, and social media. As part of our mission to improve the quality of life for the visually impaired children, we launched a program in 2003 to supply vision aids to schools and directly to families. And for many years, we donated computer monitor systems. More recently, we've offered state-of-the-art handheld video magnifiers, like the one described by Adam's mom in the letter I read earlier. Many of our family network members have also registered with the patient database hosted by the National Eye Institute. The NEI took the database that we originally started in 2004 just for individuals with OA and expanded it to include all inherited vision disorders. NEI also collects and stores DNA samples. Families who participate receive free genetic testing to confirm a diagnosis of an inherited eye disease, while scientists investigating the disease have open access to these DNA samples. And we encourage any of you who are interested to enroll in the program, which currently has more than 4,000 DNA samples on file. These are busy and exciting times for us at VOC. Although we'd like nothing more than to close our doors, having achieved our mission of curing hereditary vision disorders, we're not quite there yet. Our work is not yet done, but each new study and clinical trial brings us closer. Next month, 22 of our researchers will be getting together to share information about their current work. They will be in town for the 8th Annual Worldwide Symposium, which VOC fully sponsors. It's rare that scientists from different institutions are willing to collaborate and work together for a common goal. But this has worked remarkably well at each of our symposiums. The scientists have been very open with each other. They've offered input and creative suggestions that have led to innovative approaches. We invite family network members to the symposium, and we'd certainly welcome any of you to attend to learn firsthand about our new research discoveries. This year, there'll be a special session for families led by Dr. Richard Lewis. Dr. Lewis has been a strong advocate of translation of genetic research back to patient care and has shepherded the establishment of the clinical DNA testing for OA1 at the Baylor Diagnostic Laboratory. We're very excited to hear about our researchers' latest work. Each symposium accelerates the pace of vision research and brings us closer to discovering a treatment for genetically caused vision disorders in children. So I'd like to close with the same thought I mentioned earlier, and that is, we may be small in size, but our passion for our cause is insurmountable. We look forward to the day when parents will never have to hear the words that Vivian and Sam Hartage heard, a day when there is hope for children born with a genetic vision disorder. On that day, when those children can be treated, or even better, cured, our work will be done. So I hope I've given you a flavor of what our foundation is about, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, raise your hand so that a mic can be brought to you.
Hi, is it okay? Have you done any research in the field of aniridia?
We have not. Our research has been primarily based on ocular albinism. We have also focused on blue cone monochromacy and chromatopsia, but a lot of the research that is done with that specific disease can translate to other conditions down the road, but not yet.
How early can the diagnosis be made on a child, and how does it reach your attention?
Are you speaking specifically for ocular albinism?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
Pretty young, within a few months, most of these parents find out. We are contacted, usually the child has seen an ophthalmologist, and it's the parents that are then reaching out to find help and support, and that's when they're usually contacting us, unless it's one of the doctors that knows us and will refer the patients to us. Otherwise, it's usually the parents that once they find out their child is diagnosed with ocular albinism, they typically don't know anybody else with that condition, and the parents reach out to us.
Any others?
I'm curious to know how organizations such as yours interlock and to what extent they do. I happen to be a person who experiences Leber's congenital amaurosis, and I'm aware of the Retinal Research Foundation and the family conferences where they have medical researchers and families together that they put on, and it sounds kind of similar to yours. Also, that foundation was founded by a couple who had a baby with LCA. I always say, you know, that families adjust in different ways. Some of them start foundations, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm not entirely sure what the question was.
Oh, I just wanted to know if you have a relationship with other groups like that.
We do to an extent that we try and reach out to them, but typically we are funding very specific research, and so we are happy to collaborate with other organizations, and if we can offer their members services, we're happy to do so, but we don't work on a regular basis with them. Oh, you too.
My name is Judy Wilkinson. I think the work you do sounds just amazing. I so want to commend you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I want to learn. We are a struggling nonprofit, and I'm just agog at your fundraising efforts. Can you tell us a little bit about your budget? And it sounds like I'm being callous because I do care about the work, but I'm very interested in the how. Can you give us some thoughts on how you grew and how you were able to, you know, get to where you are, say, for instance, with the charity, the celebrity charity events and so on? Thank you.
Yes. Well, I think it's all about who you know. So I think part of our success is that we are an incredibly small foundation. There's typically only been one or two employees at a time, and so we are, as I said, very lean. That has helped us keep our costs down, and as I said as well, a lot of our expenses are donated, so that helps significantly. In terms of the charity events with the celebrities, I think we've gotten really lucky, which I know is not real helpful to, you gotta have good luck. But our founders have happened to make the right connections over the years, and somehow they've made these connections and reached out, and I think been very persistent to get some of the celebrities to help us out. And that was really it. I don't think anybody knew Martha Stewart when we asked her to come in, and nobody knew Andrea Bocelli, but they were able to somehow convince them that our cause was worthy, and they were able to support us.
Hello, this is Melissa Rowe. First of all, I want to thank you. This has been very informative. I've always had an interest in genetics. My question is, are you guys planning on doing any research in the future on genetic disorders that have blindness as a major factor? I know that there are some disorders that, you know, blindness isn't the only factor, but it is a major one.
Yes. Our primary goal right now is to work on our initial focus with ocular albinism. But that will, once we figure that one out, I think that it'll lead to other disorders. And once we figure that out, and if we can do the stem cell therapy where we are regrowing these neurons to the brain, it should help every vision disorder, not just ocular albinism. But it's going to take a little time, but it seems as though that is the pathway, and that should help all of these different conditions, even if it's just blindness as a part of the disorder. It should at least help with that portion of it.
That's it.
Okay.
I'm going to ask, and if you could possibly share with us, maybe top of your head, maybe some of the universities or institutes that are you are helping sponsor the research, what those might be, and if you know if any of them are starting any clinical trials with children.
Okay, so currently the only one right now that has a clinical trial with children is the one at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and that is an OCA, oculocutaneous albinism trial, which they're working with the dopamine levels. So that is the only clinical trial. The rest of our trials are much more lab-based, so you definitely would not want any people involved in those ones.
Yeah.
A lot of times working with mice, much more molecular based, but we have research happening at Columbia University, at UCLA, about to start with UCSD. I'm going to not pronounce this properly, we have something in Italy at San Raffaele Institute. Sorry, I just write it, I don't say it. and we had something at Tufts. So we've had it worldwide. We have researchers in the past in China, in from Argentina, from all around the world. So is that answer?
And then could you give us, so if people want to take it down, we're also streaming this presentation. So right now, if anyone's wanting to get more information about the foundation and its programs, that how they could get in contact with you?
Yes, if you'd like to, you can always call me or email me. And so my number is 858-314-7917. You can email me at akinnear, it's KINNEAR, at visionofchildren.org. Or the easiest way might be to go to our website, because we discuss our research there, our newest publications, and some of the different programs that we have. You can become a member as well and have access to our vision aids. And our website is www.visionofchildren.org.
Okay. And I, just out of curiosity, perhaps, I think when I went to the website, it was about some of the fundraising programs. There was something, I believe I read, if I read correctly, was about blind surfing.
Yes, that was an event actually a couple years ago that happened in collaboration with the Lions Club of Encinitas. And we sadly haven't done that one again since, but I know we would love to become involved with it again. But were they every year? So
it sounded very exciting and interesting.
It seems
doing
fun.
That, yes. Well, I want to thank you very much for giving your evening to come and talk about the foundation and its valuable services it offers the blind and vision impaired community of the United States and the world. So thank you very much for coming tonight, and let's give Ms. Kinnear a hand.
Thank you. My pleasure. Yes, let me grab you.
And thank you again. Okay, before we proceed on, can I interest people in doing a door prize? Okay. Caught Ed off the guard, I bet. A box of See's candy. Well, that's mine. Yes, I am certain. Yes. Kushro. Kushro Bada?
Kush from, yeah.
Kush. He's not here.
No, he was at the president's dinner.
He's not in the room now, though. Okay. George Drain. Gone.
AWOL.
Charles Navarrete. Is Charles in the room?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do one more.
Should we do a doggy nap?
Yes.
Chill nap?
And I want that.
Oh. We have a... It's one of the doggy chill mats from the CCB table. I do.
Oh, there's a lot to read into that one. Okay. Linda Perel. Yay. Let's do a gift card and then that'll be it.
Linda, can you raise your hand? There you go.
We're going to do a gift card and then go on to our next presentation. So,
chance I could feel it before you give it to Linda?
I gave it to her, but I have another one in here.
Oh, okay.
Applebee's. Let's do that. Let's do an Applebee's. BRC. Which group?
BRC.
$25 value. Sorry. Deborah?
Debbie Ogun. Is she here?
Interesting. Not here. Okay. Okay, Mona Craig is not here. Oh, boy. John
Mavis?
John Mavis. Still not here. Teddy, you still here with us? Okay. Okay, that's it for now of those. And I'm just going to ask Donna a question, and then we're going to start next presentation. Do we have a print copy somewhere?
Oh, no.
I can get it. It's up in the...
Okay.
I know where it is. I can maybe my daughter can get it.
We're going to do... we're just doing some little administrative business. Is Andy Tom in the room? No. Okay.
Let me call her and see if I can.
Okay.
I have a couple announcements I can make.
Well, we're going to do a few and see if there's any announcements that need to be made. Just buying a little time, filler time until we get something done in preparation for the elections. Yes, please.
Hi, this is Joni Patchy, and I just want everybody to remember that our chapter came all the way from Sacramento. And we have candy bars and really, really nice T-shirts to sell. And they have a great saying on them. It's Braille written down the side of the shirt. And each letter starts the letter of the beginning of a word. And it says, blind people representing advocacy, independence, and living life with equality. It's in print on the front and Braille on the back.
You know, we should start considering charging for advertising fees.
That's right.
Well, fundraising, you know.
This is Peter.
I'm trying to be creative.
Oh, charge the treasurer.
Yeah, charge the treasurer. Okay, there was another one?
Yes. Basically, the San Francisco chapter is having a raffle for our students' access grant. We provide a technology scholarship to a student in the amount of $2,500 each year. And we have raffle tickets available. You can either see myself or Frank Welty or other members of the San Francisco chapter. We also have a table in the exhibit room. First prize is $200 cash. Second prize is $100 cash. Third and fourth prizes are $50 cash each. Tickets are $1 each. Or 6 tickets for $5. So let's help support our access grant program. So please purchase tickets. Thank you.
Okay, another announcement, yeah, I believe.
One more.
There is.
Hi, this is Gigi DeMarie from the Redwood Empire Chapter.
And I have the 2014 extra large print calendars. It's another commercial, guys. I only have four left. They're $12 each. So if you'd see me after or sometime tomorrow, I'd like to get these on to somebody. If you want to order these after you've seen them, you can order them through our chapter. And we also have a small Braille calendar. It's about half this size, also for $12. End of my commercial. Thank you.
And let me ask if the is there anyone else in the audience? Okay. Jeff, would you like to give a pitch for the Resolutions Committee?
Yes. In fact, I have two announcements. I'll do one more first before the resolutions. The Inspiration Foundation, which I won't go into what it is exactly now because I want to. We're short on time. But the Inspiration Foundation is going to be awarding a $5,000 technology grant for those who need technology for employment purposes. And if you are interested in getting an application, they're due fairly soon, but you know, there is still time. If you're interested in getting an application, either find me here and I'll email it to you, or you know, get in touch with me right after convention and I will make sure that you are able to get the link to fill out the application. Thank you. Now, resolutions. For those of you who either need to turn in a resolution or for those of you who want to be involved in discussing them, tonight is the night. We take no more resolutions after tonight's meeting, and we will probably be discussing all of them more than likely tonight. So you should be there if you want to have a chance at doing so. Okay, that is it.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, the Vintage Room. I'm sorry. The Vintage Room, it's right around the corner from the restaurant, basically. It's very comfortable. You'll enjoy it.
And it has nice chairs. Those of us who have back problems and have to sit there for long hours. It was part of the negotiations in the contract. It was a breaker.
It really was.
Besides, they had going for him was having Pepsi products. Okay.
Yes. It's interesting how Gene is never more excited than when he's talking about his own comfortable chairs.
He is. And his Diet Pepsi.
Yes. We're going to start a special interest group for Pepsi fans.
Oh.
Anyway, okay, back to seriousness.